Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
So today's message, actually, I've got it's a bit of a confession here. It's actually a personal journey that I'm on this year. And I think I spoke about it a few weeks ago about pursuing joy. And so this message comes out of my own journey and my own pursuing joy this year. And I talked about Psalm 100 a few weeks back, where it was, "Shout for joy, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness." And this idea that I wanted to serve God with joy. I wanted to serve Him with gladness and worship Him. And so I'm still on this journey because, you know, sometimes with God, He reveals something to us, but it doesn't always happen overnight. I wish it was like the Pantene. With the Pantene ad, you know, it will happen, but it won't happen overnight. And that's a bit about my journey with God. It doesn't happen overnight sometimes. It's a bit of a journey, and I'm still on this way to finding joy and pursuing joy. Because I know God has something for me. But I tell you, whenever God has something for me, things always come up in opposition against me. I don't know if that's something that you have in your life. You know, when you're wanting, well, for me, when I'm wanting to pursue joy, there's always things that are coming up against me to take that joy away or to distract me from that. And the one thing that I find that is really stealing my joy is a negative headspace. I'm really finding that so hard to get out of this complaining and finding the bad in situations. And it's not that I'm, well, maybe I am looking for it, but it seems to just jump out at me. And I'm really having to push through. And this sermon comes out of my wanting to get out of that negative headspace. Because the enemy doesn't want me to have joy, and he's going to bring everything against that to try and steal my joy. And I'm saying enough is enough. I want my joy. I don't want to be in this negative headspace anymore. And I want to find joy. I want to talk about joyous things. I want to think about joy. I want to have a headspace that is all about joy. Anyone else want to have this freedom from the negative in life? Yeah. Couple of people, so that's good. All right, so I'm preaching to a couple of people. So this week, I have Instagram. I don't know, some of you might know Instagram, and Instagram has like lots of little videos, like they're usually only about 2 minutes long, and so I usually watch a few over the week. And this week I came across one, and I'm pretty sure it was from a man called Stephen Furtick, because he's one of the ones that I do watch. Now I have a really bad memory, and I don't really remember a lot of these videos. I watched some this morning and I can't tell you anything about what I've watched. But there was one that came up this week, and there was a video that I watched. It was probably a couple of minutes long, but there's only one line that I can remember from this whole video. Can't remember anything else about this video, but I remember one line. And it was probably about a week ago that I watched this video. And this line has stuck with me all week. And so I know it must be from God, because my memory is so bad that God has had to implant this one verse. So I know it's from God, and I know it's a powerful statement that I need to take notice of. Do you want to know what the line is? Are you sure? Because it's really confronting, and it's really challenging for me. And we're going to look at it in context. It's actually a line from Scripture, and my sermon is kind of around this line. And we're going to look at it in the book of Philippians in a moment. And the line that's been ruminating in my mind all week, I'm building this up for you, so hopefully it's going to hit the punchline when it actually gets there. So the line is, are you listening? Do everything without complaining or arguing. That's the line. Everything without complaining or arguing. That's the line that's been in my head all week. Do you know how hard that is? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Wow. I have teenagers. I have a husband. I have work. I have life. It's really hard to not complain about those things. Oh, amen, yes. I knew this was a message from God, and it's a strong message from God. Do you ever have those moments where something like that catches your attention? That God gives you a line and you can't get rid of it, and you know that it is something that God is wanting you to do with. Well, this was mine for this week. And I think it's going to actually continue, not just for this week. I think it's something that is sticking with me for quite some time. It's been resounding in my mind continuously. So today, in full disclosure, this message is actually for me. Me wrestling with this, do not, you know, stop crumbling, stop complaining, stop arguing. This is a message that I need to work through. And I'm trying to find out how can I put this into practice. So we're going to read this line in the context of Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start from verse 14 where this line comes from. But I want to give you a warning. So it also gives you some time to find it if you've got a paper Bible to look it up. It is really important that we don't just read one line of scripture and think, that's it, that's the message. We need to read around. We need context. We need to know what's happening in the story. Because I want to give you an example of where we can take something from scripture and think, oh, that's the nth degree. We just need to listen to this line and that's it. We don't need to worry about it. So I want to show you a scripture first while you're looking for that one in Philippians from 1 Corinthians, which is going to come on the screen. And it's from 1 Corinthians 14, 34. And this is something that we need to be aware of when we read scripture. We don't just take a verse or a line and think, that's it. That's the message. And this verse says, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. Uh-oh. Yes. So if we read this line and went, that's it. Women should not be speaking in churches. I should not be up here. I should not have been ordained by the Salvation Army. You know, but we often read that, and some churches do. They read this and they go, well, that means that women should not be preachers. Women should not be even opening their mouths within a church building. That's really hard. How many of you women could keep your mouth closed completely in church? For the hour and a bit that we meet. No. I don't think it's physically possible. But it's important to read this in its context. So this was actually, so in this day it was really radical for women to even be included in worship. Jesus opened that gate for women. You know, he included women as his followers. He said that women were just as entitled. He had women disciples. He, you know, brought the message to Mary that he was risen from the dead. She was the first evangelist to spread the good news that Jesus was alive. It was a woman. That didn't happen in this day. So they'd open this gate for women to be allowed to be equal to men in worship and in ministry. And so what had happened in this time, there was women who were in the church and they were, you know, had given equal standing with men, but some of these women were actually abusing that privilege. Now, women, we never do that, do we? No, no. But so Paul is actually giving instruction to a particular situation and a particular issue that was occurring. There were some women who were actually speaking and chatting and causing disruption in worship. Now that never happens either, does it, women? We never chat and we never cause disruption in worship, do we? No. But this is the situation that Paul was speaking into. He's not making a blanket statement saying that women should never ever speak in church. He's saying in this context, women, you know, Get back in your place. Don't think you're above men now that you've been given equal standing. Come back in line, you know, don't cause disruption, you know, wait till after church and have a discussion with your husband about what the thing you were wanting to do. So it's issuing an instruction to a very specific context. So it's really important that we don't look at scripture, and it's important for that verse that I had as my instruction from God that said, you know, stop all your complaining, stop all your arguing. And it's like, okay, right. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. Okay, is that just it? Is that the message? Because if it was as easy as that, I would have stopped it years ago. I would have not done it. So we need to look at some context. Let's look around this passage and see, you know, a bit more. I want some detail. I want some meat to it. I want to know, how do I stop? It's easy to say, don't do it. But it's not as easy to in practice. It's easier said than done. So we're going to look at verse 14 and start with this passage. And it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. So just a couple of verses there. Verse 14. I got that. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's going through my head all week. I got that bit. I heard that, but it's easier said than done. Now what? Now what do I do? And verse 15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Well, no one really needs to tell us that the world is broken and warped and crooked. We can see that all around us. We see brokenness. We see evil, we see wrong, we see things that are just not right in our world all the time. But how do I become blameless and pure? How do I become without fault? So far, the scripture is telling me, stop complaining and start being good. Again, if it was that easy, why can't I do it? But the rest of 15 says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Great. So when I stop doing all this wrong stuff and I start doing good, I'm going to be like a bright light in a dark place. And that's something I really want to be. I want to be that bright light in a dark place. I don't want to be grumbling and complaining and negative. I want to be pure. I want to be blameless. I want to have without fault. I want to shine like Jesus in those dark places. But there has to be something more to help me get to be that star. The next part of the scripture says, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And the contemporary English version says, as you hold firmly to the message that gives life. What is the message that gives life? It's the message about Jesus. Jesus brings life. Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. He came back to life and he can bring us back to life. This message of life is that we can become new, that we can have new life, that we can be transformed. I'm starting to see hope because I know what that message of life is. I've heard the story of what Jesus has done. I know what Jesus has done for me personally. I know what Jesus has done for other people that I've heard their stories. I've seen the message of life in action. So I've got this pattern. I need to stop complaining and arguing. I want to be pure and good so that I can shine in the dark places. And I've got to hold firmly to the truth about Jesus. So why do I feel like I'm not quite able to do this. I think I could keep myself from complaining maybe for an hour, maybe two. And maybe I could keep myself pure and faultless for maybe the same amount of time if I was in a room all by myself. Yes. If I try really hard. But this doesn't come naturally. I don't know, does anyone else have this come naturally to them? And to do it forever and ever? To be pure, to be blameless. Why do I feel like I'm missing something in this passage? Well, actually, we have missed. And I've deliberately gone to this verse to show you the importance of not just reading one bit and thinking that's the answer. We actually need to skip back a couple of verses. Don't just read one or two lines and think, oh, that's it. That's the answer. Because I've read that, I don't know how many times that has come into my head and I've read it this week. The stop grumbling and complaining bit. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. I've read that over and over and over. And that doesn't help me stop being grumbling and complaining. So I'm going to backtrack. We're going to go back to verse 12, a bit before this. And it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're not quite there yet, people. Hold on, because this verse seems like we've got to get it all together ourselves, that we've got to work out our own salvation. It's like, oh, I'm still having trouble doing this thing. You know, it says, as you've always obeyed. I don't know that I've always obeyed. It's hard. I don't always get it right. It all sounds like stuff I have to do still. That I actually can't successfully do myself, at least not for very long. Hold on, verse 13's coming. This is the crucial bit that we're going to look for. Because it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Hallelujah! Anyone else read that and go, phew, I don't have to do it all myself. It is God who does the work in you. He does that work so that you can actually do the good work. It is not your own strength that allows you to stop complaining and grumbling. Because believe me, I have tried. It's not your own strength that can make you pure and blameless. It is not your own strength that enables you to shine like a star. When we don't allow God to work in us, we're going to blend into the crooked, evil, corrupt world that we live in. We're going to be just like everybody else. When we don't allow God to work in us, we will blend into that dark space. We need God working in us to ignite the fire so that we become those stars in the sky. It is such a relief that God does not expect us to do it on our own. God's not a God sitting up in heaven going, you need to behave. Like how, you know, we sang of the goodness of God because he loves us so much that he wants to work in us. He's not sitting up there going, I'm so good, you're so bad. He's so good because he loves us and wants us to love him back. It is such a relief that God does not expect us to be good on our own. He doesn't expect us to stop doing the bad. He's not there saying, stop complaining and grumbling and leaving it at that. I do that to my kids. Stop doing that. Really, I should be probably coming alongside them and teaching them how they can stop doing that instead of just being a commander. God knows that we can't do it for ourselves. That's why he sent Jesus. Otherwise, there was no point for Jesus to come. Jesus is our hope. We know we can't do it for ourselves. If we're brutally honest with ourselves, sometimes I think I can do it myself and then I fall in a heap, usually a few days later, and then get a reality check. I can't actually do this. Sorry, God. So God in us works in us in order for us to work out his good plan. So we need to put in 100% effort, but we need to rely on God to do 100% of the effort. Does that make sense? We need to put in the 100% effort to rely upon God to do 100% of the work in us and through us. When we rely 100% on God to work in us, we can then put 100% into the work that he has for us. God's good work in us enables us to perform good works. God equips us to do what he wants us to do. For me, that's life-changing, that I don't have to be the struggler or the complainer and the grumbler. God can do the work in me to do those things. Because when we do everything without complaining and grumbling, we shine like a star. And it shows the goodness of God and the God that we serve. When we are grumbling and complaining and fitting in with everything else that's happening in our world, people don't see God. We are meant to be those lights that show who God is. We are told in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." Our work is not for people. And sometimes I get caught up with that because I work for an organization that is full of people. And I get consumed with the internal workings, the politics, whatever you want to call it, of people and organizational structures. And they're not who I'm really actually working for or who I should not really be working for. I should be working for God. And when you work for God, it is so much easier not to complain. Because how can you complain about serving a good God who gives us everything, gives us his love, it is perfect and doesn't fail or fault? When we put our hope in the one who is the one, we can do all these things because we're relying upon him to give us the passion, to give us the ability to do the pure, to do the good. When we do it for God and not for man, this in itself helps us not to complain or to argue. And this brings honor to God. It's when we allow God to work in us that we can be those shining examples in the dark places of this world. Christians are meant to stand out from the worldly crowd. And I think sometimes we blend in far too much. We're not meant to hide away or to blend in with that landscape. Our words, our actions, and our attitudes are meant to be vastly different to those of the world so that God can be seen in and through us. So when the scripture tells us to hold firmly to the word of life, to the message of life, which is the message of Jesus, we are not just holding on to that truth for ourselves, but we are to hold this up for others to see. A bit like a candle that you hold up when it's in the dark place. We are to hold that message up for others to see. Because it's not just a message for us, it's a message for everyone. The truth about Jesus is the light that others will see. Because our faith is not just for our benefit, it's for others to see and to have too. So what gets you up and going in the morning? Your bladder. I didn't have that one down. What gives you energy and strength to do the work you need to do? Maybe not the bladder. Coffee. Maybe it's the incentive of getting paid if you go to paid work. Maybe you love your job or your passion for whatever you're doing. Maybe that's what gets you up in the morning and gets you going. Coffee. Some people need a lot of coffee. I need food. I need breakfast. If I don't eat, then I'm not very much use at all. But I want to read you this quote from the Theology of Work commentary. It says, Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi, which is the letter we've read today, provides a different sort of answer to the question of where we find strength to do our work. Paul says that our work is not the result of our own effort, but that God works in us is what gives us our energy. Anyone agree with that statement? Yeah. What we do in life, including on the job, is an expression of God's saving work in Christ. Moreover, we find the strength for this effort by the power of God within us. Christ's work is to serve people, and God empowers us to serve alongside him. We find the strength for this effort by the power of God within us. That's what gets us going. The power. I'm hearing myself echoing. That's really interesting. That's kind of weird. Maybe we really needed to hear that line again. Maybe we really need to know about the power of God working in us. I certainly do. I want Christ to be my super fuel in the morning, to get me up and going. I want God to work in me so that I can have energy and strength to do all that he has for me to do. And I think this super fuel of Christ is the key to stopping that complaining and that grumbling and that negative headspace. I need to allow God to work in me more. So this is my own confessions of a pastor. I need God to work in me more. I constantly try to flip out and do it myself, and I'm not very good at it. You think I would have learned? I'm over the hill and far away in terms of age. I should have known by now. I've known Jesus a long time, and I still find it hard to remember to draw on him, to find my strength in him, and allow him to work in me. I need to work as if I'm working for God. And remember that it's for him I do what I do. Because he is the one working in me so that I can work for him. It's like this nice little circle. This cycle of God works in us, we work for him. God works in us, we work for him. Like there's this nice thing. And then everybody else gets in on it too, because then we work for others and they get drawn into the cycle. And we work for others because God's working in us, who's working through me to work through others to come back to the cycle of God. God is here. Do you believe that? You are here, God. You are working in this place. Do you believe he's working? Even when you can't see it, he's still working. He's working in our lives. He's turning lives around. You are here, God. You're moving in our midst. You're doing all these things. God, I ask that you would have full reign in our lives to work, so that we can be shining examples of your love in our community. So that people do not see us bickering, complaining, arguing, being negative, but that they see stars, bursts of light, showing your love and hope to those trapped in dark places. We're going to sing a song about this in a moment. Waymaker. Because God, you are a miracle worker, a promise keeper. And we're going to sing these words, a waymaker, a promise keeper, a light in the darkness. because you are here working in this place. You are here moving in our midst. You are turning lives around. God, work through us. Work in us. I'm going to invite the singers to come back up to sing. Because God, we want you to work in us so that we can become pure and blameless, shining in our community. And we want to emulate your goodness. We've sang of your goodness and we will continue to sing of your goodness. But we need that goodness in us, working in us to show to others. What is your challenge today? My challenge is I need to have God working in me more. If you want that, ask God in this very moment to work in you. Reach out to him. Say, God, I don't want to be the one working and trying to do it on my own. I want you to work in and through me. I can't do all that stuff. I can't stop all the negative and the bad stuff. I need you working in me to do it. So take this moment, pray through it. Allow the words of this song to speak to you. What is it that you need to hear today? That you need God to work in you?